This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 94.
Hey, everybody. In this special Thanksgiving episode, we're going to share inspiring stories from real people in our audience who have positively transformed their lives through running. It's all about why we're thankful that we're able to run and take control of our lives and fitness. And for this episode's quick tip, we share why it's important for you to write down your running story. And to get expert coaching and training for your next marathon or half marathon, find out how to become a member of the Academy by visiting marathontrainingacademy.com. So we just want to remind everybody that Angie and I will be at the Rocket City Marathon in Huntsville, Alabama in December. And in February, we're going to be at the Myrtle Beach Marathon. And in March, the A2A Marathon, which is a marathon that is recommending us as their training resource and invited us to be there. So we would love to see any of you at one of these races. Just hit us up, send us an email. You can send it to trevor@marathontrainingacademy.com and let me know if you're going to be there. We'd love to meet up with you. We also now have official Marathon Training Academy t-shirts.
Yay.
We call them lucky running shirts.
Well, you call them lucky running shirts.
Yeah, so we've wanted to do this for how long now? Like 3 years?
Pretty much, ever since we started. So, we're nothing if but deliberate.
Well, we finally have them, and I'm really happy with how they turned out. We were able to get in contact with a lady who does the t-shirts for the Vinnie Tortorich podcast, and she takes care of everything. And that's what we wanted. We wanted somebody who would do the screen printing, take the orders, ship them out.
We didn't want to be pawing through boxes of shirts in our shed in the middle of the winter.
We didn't want to have to buy like $5,000 worth of shirts and then hope they sell and take trips to the post office every day. So we found a way to do it effectively, and the lady's name is Sheila. And her business is in Texas, and she's now the official swag manager. I made this title up for her. She likes it.
Oh, good.
She's the official swag manager for MTA.
I'm really excited about the quality of the shirts. We've got New Balance technical shirts.
Yes.
And they just really have a nice fit, and they're really high quality, comfortable. And
they're moisture wicking. They even have like reflective strips in them for running at night. Yeah, and Angie's sister, who's a graphic designer, did the graphic on the back of the shirt for us, and it says, "I eat hills like candy." And it's got a runner eating hills. That's what I tell myself when I'm out running the hills, you know, that I got this.
Especially since we're not eating much candy right now. That's all we can do is eat hills.
I know. Yeah, we've been trying to be no sugar people and no grains people. We're coming into the holiday season, so we might have to put life in the living a little bit, as Vinny says.
Yes. I'm sure it'll be harder to stay on our diet.
I guess we just need to get a plan right now. I mean, I'm sure you have, Angie. You've got in your mind what days you're going to eat dessert or to what extent you're going to eat dessert. Or are you just going to, because you can't just go on cravings, right?
Right. I'm pretty intentional usually, thinking ahead, like what treats I want.
Right.
But then, you know, it's kind of funny that after you've been off sugar for a while, I'll eat a dessert that normally I would have loved before and, you know, maybe had two or three pieces.
Uh-huh.
Telling all my dirty secrets here. And it's like almost too sweet. And then an hour later, it like throws me into a sugar coma. I'm like passed out on the couch.
It's like getting detoxed.
It is. Yeah. It's really amazing. So, you know, obviously we've had a few treats around my birthday time and
right.
Now going into Thanksgiving, we'll probably have something, but.
But you're going to be intentional about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And it's just much less. It's not just like, oh, sugar, feed my face kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to be intentional also, you know, just because the dessert's there doesn't mean I have to have some. If there's like five things to choose from, maybe I can just take one or just eat the dessert that I really, really like. And all the ones that I'm only sort of into, just ignore, you know, just I don't have to eat it just because it's there.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I was wholeheartedly eating sugar just without control, it was like I would eat stuff that I didn't really even enjoy.
Uh-huh.
And you know how like, the first two or three bites taste really good. Then after that, it's kind of like, nah.
Yeah.
You know, just eating it to finish it.
And why am I eating this?
Why can't I stop?
So anyway, I don't know if that helps anybody out there, but be intentional at the dessert table. In this episode, we are going to talk about why we're thankful for running. And we also have some short stories sent in by listeners about how running has transformed their lives. And I think you're going to love it. So we're going to get into that right now. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way.
As we talk about running transforming lives, have you found that running has changed your life in any way?
Yes, definitely. Running is the gift that keeps on giving, you know? I was like a desk potato up until about 2010 when I started running, inspired by you. And it was very difficult, you know, because I really hated to run, didn't have any use for it. I wasn't like a horribly unfit person, but I certainly didn't like to run, but you got me going on a run-walk program. And then I built up to, I think the first race that I ever did was a 12K in Washington State. I thought that was hard. And it was. It was for my level back then. It was really hard. And then ran a half marathon. Never thought I would do a full marathon because the half marathon was really hard. My feet were so sore.
Well, it took you until, I believe, the spring of 2011 to build up to the half marathon, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I was kind of a lazy runner. I guess I still kind of am.
I guess that's why we did that podcast, Confessions of a Lazy Runner, huh?
Yeah, I remember that episode. Yeah, I don't have the discipline at all that Angie has. But, man, looking back now, you know, I've run five marathons, and, you know, physically, I'm a different person. I'm about 20 pounds lighter. In fact, I was just in the license office yesterday having to renew my license, and it says that I weigh 180 pounds, which is 20 pounds off. And I've got this picture, this photo, even right in front of me here, of when we first moved to Missouri in 2007. And it's our family picture, and I look like a cookie dough head.
You look rather puffy.
Yeah, just looking at that now, it's funny, and it's like, man, was that me?
You know? You look like a totally different person.
So I know that you can't see this picture if you're listening to this, but go over to the blog and take a look at it. I'll have a before and after, before and after my first marathon, side-by-side photo, and you can see what you think. Yeah, so running is awesome, and I can't imagine living without it now. And I especially like running on trails, and it just feels like you're flying.
Yeah, there's so much freedom in running.
Yeah, so how about you, Angie? What are you thankful for when it comes to running?
Wow, it would be hard to narrow it down and not talk about myself the rest of the podcast. I guess I would just say that running has totally transformed my life. Mentally, physically, emotionally. I've struggled with depression most of my life and did not really link my struggles with depression to being physically inactive. But since I've been running on a regular basis and challenging myself, taking on goals, it's really helped me kind of level off emotionally and, you know, be able to have an outlet to get rid of negative emotions, I guess, instead of just stuffing them inside.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, the opportunities that it's opened up with our business, Marathon Training Academy, and being able to travel all over the country and run marathons. And, you know, I just really...
And meet all kinds of awesome people.
Yeah. You know, just the opportunities that have opened up to us through running. I really just feel very humbled and grateful for it.
Yes, definitely. We are so thankful for all of you who are listeners to our podcast and all of you who have been customers. You guys rock. And one of the most wonderful things about what we're doing is connecting with the people. So that's definitely been life-changing for us.
It has been. And actually, I got the idea for this podcast when I was out running.
Yes.
I was just thinking how running had changed my life. And with the holiday season coming up and Thanksgiving here in the U.S., I was thinking, wouldn't it be neat to hear why people are thankful for running and how it's transformed their lives? Even if you don't live in the U.S. and don't celebrate Thanksgiving, I think it's important to be intentional about counting our blessings and being thankful for the positive things in our lives.
So now we're going to read some short stories that listeners have sent in. This first one comes from Leah, who lives in Oslo, Norway. So Angie's going to read that one.
All right. She says, I'm Leah, 30 years old, from Oslo, Norway. I used to see myself as the kind of person who never finished anything and always chose the easy path. I was getting increasingly stressed about getting older, not having any children, and not being where I wanted in my career. All that changed when I took up running almost 2 years ago. Shortly after I finished my first 10K, I decided to take on the full marathon challenge before my 30th birthday to prove to myself that I could finish a larger project. I spent hours dreaming about crossing the finish line, but soon realized that the real victory was all those times I went out and finished a training run in rain or even snow, cold, and darkness.
That's well said.
I finished my first marathon in Edinburgh, Scotland, 2 months before turning 30, in 3 hours and 56 minutes. Now I'm already signed up for next year's Berlin Marathon and am consistently running 40 to 50 kilometers each week, even off season. It'll be more when I start training towards the marathon. Now I have started to believe more in myself and be persistent in my other life projects. I am more happy at work, in my relationship, and with my body and age. It might not seem like a big life change viewed from the outside, but to me, it's dramatic. I've become the sort of person who reaches my goals.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us, Leah. And I like how she said that she started to believe more in herself. You know, the victories that she was having in her health and fitness started translating into other parts of her life. You know, since we're a total person, you know, we can't really too easily separate our physical life from our emotional and spiritual lives and business lives, that I think when you start getting success in your health, that you can kind of go with that momentum in other areas of your life too.
Exactly.
This next story comes from Melissa from Atlanta, Georgia.
She says, "Hi, Angie. I just wanted to contribute a story about how running positively impacted my life. I was never a runner in my early years. I just ran enough to pass a fitness test to enlist in the military in 2003, and then only ran when compelled by my duty requirements. In 2006, I was on my first deployment with the U.S. Navy to the Horn of Africa. Deployment was much more challenging than I'd anticipated, and I felt lost so far away from home, and emotionally overwhelmed after seeing the poverty and suffering present in the town around our camp. I started running a mile or two around the flight line to stay awake on long shifts. Within a few weeks, I was up to 5 to 6 miles. I began relying on those runs as a time to be in my own head and process the homesickness, sadness, and the stress of long work days with the pure joy of movement. Without these runs, I am sure I would have survived that deployment. However, I would not have come out a better person physically and mentally. I have since been honorably discharged from the military, but I took running with me. I've now run countless 5 to 10Ks, 9 half marathons, 3 full marathons, and I'm training for my first ultra, a 24-hour race in February. I still rely on running as a form of meditation and self-expression. I am thankful every day for the challenges that brought running into my life. I listen to many episodes of your podcast while training for all my races, and I always love hearing your thoughts and words of encouragement. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours."
And that was from Melissa. So thank you, Melissa, for sharing your story. It sounds like running is a good way for her to deal with stress in her life.
Exactly.
I'm sure a lot of people can identify with that.
Yeah, it may not be stress as severe as being deployed overseas in, you know, a tense area of the world, but we all have stress in our life.
Yeah.
And running can be a great outlet.
And this next story comes from Jim from Sacramento, California.
He says, "My initiation into running began when I went on spring break in college. A bunch of guys in Lake Havasu, and you'd think I wouldn't have a care in the world. But then one of my buddies says this to me, 'You're not fat, you just look like a barrel with arms.' I began running and quickly lost 30 pounds. That was in 1994. 19 years later, as much as I don't classify myself as a runner, I've run over a dozen half marathons with a personal best of 1 hour and 38 minutes. I'm training for my fourth marathon where I'm trying to hit 3 hours and 45 minutes, which would shave off 24 minutes. These days, most of my best experiences outside of my family involve running. My best friend runs all the races I do with me. We met a group of new friends through our doing the Golden Gate Relay every year since 2011. I continue to run and meet new people to run with all the time, and I'm in the best shape of my life at age 40. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old that I hope will one day run these races with me. The running community is open to all, and with that, you meet people from all walks of life. You learn from everyone's experiences and get to learn about yourself. It's hard to put into words. I just know that I get much positive energy remembering my experiences that involve running. You two sharing your stories is a nice part of it, too."
And that was from Jim, who lives in Sacramento. And Jim brought up a point that I think is very good, and we would be remiss if we didn't bring it up, and that is the social aspect of running, that it can really enrich your life socially, you know, with the friends that you meet and, you know, go out and training with others. That's another one of the big blessings that you'll find when you become a runner. And Jim, I think you can go ahead and classify yourself as a runner.
Yes, you are definitely a runner. Wear it with pride.
Yes. All right, this next message comes from Omar, who lives in Chicago, Illinois. And we actually met Omar at the New Orleans Rock and Roll Marathon.
Yeah, in 2012.
Yeah, so I mean, I can visualize him right now.
Because we have a picture.
Yeah, we do.
Some drunk guy took our picture.
I remember that.
That was interesting. Yes. This says, "Angie, I've always been a bit overweight, but during college, my weight started to push me towards obesity. I got as high as 235 pounds, much more than my 6-foot frame should carry. I began running a little bit during my last year in college, but it wasn't until I took an out-of-state job in St. Louis that I took running to the next level. I had a coworker whose husband ran the St. Louis Marathon. Being new to the area, I had little to do aside from work, and I was quickly falling into a rut and packing on the pounds again. I decided to sign up for the 2010 Go St. Louis Marathon. Not only would it be my first marathon, it would be my first ever race. To this day, the first marathon was the hardest of the 11 I have completed, but I was hooked. A few weeks later, I found out about the 50 State Marathoners Club and decided to make that my long-term goal, a marathon in every state. I never envisioned running completely changing my life, but I've become involved in my local running club as a pacer leader for our marathon training program. Next year will be my first year to run Boston. I've shaved an hour from my first marathon in 2010, which was 4 hours and 13, to my current PR of 2 hours and 59 minutes.
Wow.
I still have my goal to run a marathon in every state, but I've also adopted two more loftier goals. I want to run a marathon on every continent, including Antarctica. Probably my most ambitious goal is running a 2-hour, 35-minute marathon. 235 symbolizes my starting weight before running, and without running, I would probably still be lingering around 235.
Wow, that is really good. And I had no idea that he's running that fast.
That's amazing.
Yes.
He's obviously been working very hard and just pushing himself to see what he can accomplish. And he also said in the message that he's going to be in Myrtle Beach, so hopefully okay, we'll get to see him
cool.
there.
That's something else about when you start running is there's always new challenges that you can take on if you want.
Exactly.
You can go as far as you want with this thing.
You can go to Antarctica if you want.
Yeah, exactly. And this next message was sent in by BJ from Texas.
This was a short message on Facebook. He says, I lost 75 pounds. I'm running more than I ever thought possible, and I feel awesome. After starting my journey over 2 years ago, I've run 3 marathons and have 2 more, plus an ultra this season. My life has completely changed for the better.
4 exclamation points. You can get by with that on Facebook, can't you?
That's right.
Losing 75 pounds, that's worth many exclamation points, don't you think?
Definitely.
And this next one is from Kate, who lives in Morris Plains, New Jersey.
She says, Hi, Angie. I just wanted to say I love your podcast. I first discovered you guys over the summer when I began training for my first half marathon. Listening to you helped to keep me in the running mindset on days when I lacked focus and provided a lot of training tips I never thought to investigate myself. I started running in the summer of 2007. I was home from college, my boyfriend at the time, and I were on a break. I was pretty torn up about it, and I started walking as a way to clear my head and exhaust myself enough to sleep. When walking got boring, the running started. It started out as, I'll just run to the next lamppost, and although I hated it, it provided a release that I'd been desperate for. I quickly became familiar with the runner's high and actually improved a little. Fueled by the determination that I would go back to college and face my on-a-break boyfriend in better condition than he left me, my summer plans were set. Work out, eat better, feel better, and hopefully look better. 2 months and almost 15 less pounds later, I was back in school, and my hard work had paid off. People were complimentary, and I had the boyfriend back within the week. But the best part, that I didn't realize until later, was that I had a way to feel like I was in control of my life when I was otherwise at odds with the universe. Running got me through finals, the performance anxiety, I majored in music, and raw deals from professors. It got me through the nerves of student teaching and starting my first real job. Running came in handy last year when my fiancé called off our engagement at the same time as my sister's struggle with alcohol came to a head. Running continues to get me through the nagging thoughts that accompany being in my late 20s and still not knowing what the heck I'm supposed to do with my life. In all the chaos, running persists. Running reminds me that even when my heart does not feel strong, my body is. When I'm convinced I have nothing more to give, running has proven me wrong. On a superficial level, running has changed my body, and looking in the mirror, it's a reminder that I actually had it in me to do it. Running is therapy, confidence, and control. In the time since my engagement ended and my family drama erupted, I've run a series of 5Ks. I also recently completed my first half marathon in October. On a personal level, my commitment to running caused me to reconnect with someone from my past who's completed all the above events with me as my running partner, cheerleader, and new boyfriend. Running has seen me through the sadness, heartbreak, and loneliness, and has helped me remember how to stand on my own 2 feet, and has given me the confidence to take chances and find happiness again. It's helped me learn how to treat my body so that I can live to the fullest. No matter which way life goes from here, running will always put me on the right path. No pun intended, when I'm otherwise completely lost. Keep up the good work and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And that was Kate from New Jersey. I agree with her that running does put you in control and give you that feeling of control in your life.
Exactly. It's like, well, maybe you just had an awful week and you have a lot of stress and, you know, maybe your kids hate you, whatever it is. But you know that you can go out and run. And it's just like a constant, if the weather's bad, you can still run. You know, you're not feeling good about yourself, you can still run.
Isn't that why Forrest Gump started doing it?
I guess.
It's like Ginny broke up with him.
I guess so. Just started running.
There's a lot of truth in that, you know. This next message is from Corrine, who lives in Nashville, Tennessee.
She says, when my son turned one, I was 250 pounds and had been obese since I was 10 years old. At the age of 30, I knew I had to change for him and me. For my first workout, I walked for 15 minutes and it about killed me. I kept showing up, though, every day at the gym. During my first 5K, I was 220 pounds and it took me 52 minutes. After a year and a half by learning to run and changing my eating habits, I lost over 100 pounds. Since then, running has been what I turned to when I lost my grandmother, when my son was diagnosed with autism, and through many other hardships. It's always there to make me feel better, push me, humble me, comfort me, and give me the life I truly love. I'm an online trainer now and have been beyond privileged to help hundreds of women who battle obesity like me to cross many finish lines. And I've completed 46 half marathons, 3 marathons, 1 goofy challenge. I'm also attempting the Dopey in January and am crazy enough to tackle triathlons and Tough Mudders. Running truly has changed my life, and for that I am thankful.
And that was from Corrine from Nashville, Tennessee. So she lost 100 pounds and then has gone on to be a personal trainer, it sounds like.
I think it's amazing how, you know, she's turned her life around and now she's helping others do the same.
Right.
And that's really where it's all at, is getting help for yourself and then paying it forward and learning to help others.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways you can do that.
Definitely.
You don't have to be a personal trainer. Just by your example, I think, you know, people are going to...
People notice, and, you know, they may kind of call you that crazy runner, but it's still inspiring, I think, on some sort of level.
This next message is from Glenda, who lives in Kansas City, Missouri. And we also met her at the St. Louis Rock and Roll Marathon.
Yep, right before your first marathon, huh?
Yep.
She says, I'll try to make it short. I'm too old for Title IX, so I didn't do high school sports, and I was never very athletic growing up. I didn't start running seriously until my 30s, and I fell instantly in love with the help of my friend Kim. It has boosted my self-esteem 100%. I am proud of every accomplishment of my own, but I also love the praise other people give me. This sport really changes your life.
That was Glenda from Kansas City, Missouri, weighing in on the self-esteem boost that running has given her, and I think many people can testify to that same effect, you know.
Definitely.
All right, this next story comes from Ed, who lives in Hawaii, and we know who he is. He's a marathon maniac. He gets around to a lot of races. We've seen him a couple times. He was like probably one of the first 100 fans on our Facebook page too, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. We actually gave him a shout out. I think it was somewhere between episode 7 and 10.
Uh-huh.
So, and he's actually going to be in Myrtle Beach as well. So,
okay, cool.
It's fun how these people pop up all over. So Ed says, running has changed my life and it's pretty much a godsend. It has given me opportunities that I could never have dreamed of. I've traveled to places and met some incredible and amazing people because of running, and that is a blessing that keeps me inspired. My initial reason for starting to run was that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was 280 pounds, fresh out of college, and just tired of being rejected after doing job interviews. I was convinced that it was due to my increasing physical size. And so in September of 2004, a week after my 25th birthday, I resolved to lose weight and finally get in shape. At first, I would just walk to and from the local shopping mall, and I got pretty good. Over time, I'd walk longer and tell myself that it would get better if I just kept at it. Plus, it would keep me out of the house and off the couch. Within 9 months, I had lost 50 pounds, and I continued to drop. On the advice of a high school friend and past contestant on the show The Biggest Loser, I joined a local gym. Not knowing what to do, I decided that lifting heavy weights and being a bodybuilder was the way to go. All that changed when I started to do treadmill work and up the intensity. I eventually got bored and went outdoors to try this running thing. I mapped out a 10K route, and I got better as the weeks went on, building on consistency and a solid training base. Picking up the pace and feeling my legs and body go faster with each step I took, I felt more confident than ever before. This was such a contrast for me being on the couch for 25 years and not caring about myself, to the point of me finally doing something about it. Feeling the confidence of being a distance runner didn't dawn on me until I heard about half marathons. I signed up for the Maui Half Marathon in 2007 and the Honolulu Marathon 3 months later. It may have been the most stupid, but the most soul-discovering experience ever. I finished the half marathon in 3 hours and 1 minute, and the marathon in 8 hours and 49 minutes, with plenty of sit-downs at miles 17 through 26. But I made it. We've all felt that, I'm sure. Whether it was known to me at the time, I was preparing for an amazing adventure that was sure to dazzle and amaze me. Getting through that first marathon was just the beginning. The next year, I set out to find a flatter marathon course and vowed to train more religiously. I found the Chicago Marathon and unknowingly qualified for the Marathon Maniacs with 3 marathons in 90 days. Since joining the club, I've challenged myself to do more and do it often. In this entire process, I've gotten the privilege of traveling and networking with other members of the club by wearing the infamous yellow singlet. Friends you didn't know previously are fast friends because of common or uncommon experiences. After being introduced to the entire 50 states deal in 2010, I thought it was impossible. By then, I'd knocked off 6 states and had 17 lifetime marathons already. Why not, I told myself. To be able to attempt such a feat would be amazing, especially out of Hawaii. I later learned that there's just 8 of us officially in the 50 States Marathon Club from Hawaii. With social media connections and the continuing desire to run and travel more, I began connecting with other maniacs and 50-staters and did just that. Now with 42 states done and the last 8 to finish in 2014, the end is in sight. Of course, there are other future goals, like getting a sub-5-hour marathon or Boston qualifying. I'd also like to finish a second round of the states, do 7 continents in the Canadian provinces. Regardless of these lofty goals, I would love to reach 100 lifetime marathons. Seems like all the cool kids are doing it.
He must spend a lot of time on airplanes.
He does. He travels a lot. Probably has the most frequent flyer miles ever.
That is amazing to hear from somebody who is 280 pounds and loathing his life, it sounded like, and then decide that enough was enough. You know, as he said, he was just sick and tired of it all and just started doing the hard thing, you know, going to the gym, getting on the treadmill, going out to run, seeing himself in a new way. Now it sounds like he just keeps pursuing all these goals that he has. And
his friends all over the world, so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So thank you, Ed, from Hawaii, for sending in that story. All right, this next story comes from Fodi, who is one of Angie's coaching clients, and he lives in New Jersey.
He says, back in college and even before, I ran for sports and to pass the Army physical fitness test. This continued while I was in the New Jersey National Guard. Once I left the Guard in 1999, running fell by the wayside. Life got in the way, kids, job, etc., same old story. I moved from teaching at New Jersey Dental School to where I work today, and time got even in shorter supply. I was commuting to New York City each day, about 3 hours total. During this time, I topped off at my heaviest, around 258 pounds. In 2009, I moved back to Colgate's Research and Development Center, and I found I had time now that my commute was reduced. I was concerned about the weight gain and also concerned about diabetes and Alzheimer's, both which run in my family. I decided that enough is enough. I started to work out at a local gym, eat healthier, and started to run a bit. At first it was a couple of miles and then a bit more. I decided to run in a 5K on a lark. I finished in about 35 minutes and was hooked. Then I started down the path of 5Ks, 10Ks, and finally finished my first half marathon in 2010. I then locked onto the marathon as the next goal, which was to do one and say I did it, and that would be it. How wrong I was. I was unable to run that first marathon due to injury during training, actually overtraining, so I set my sights for 2012, ran my first marathon in October, and have completed 3 more since. So why do I do it? Well, first of all, for the commonly stated reasons: health, fitness, weight loss, keeping chronic diseases at bay. It clears my mind and lets me think through issues. But mostly I do it for the experience of sharing a racing event with other like-minded folks. I have met some amazing people during my running journey. I'm a very solitary runner when training by choice, though I do participate in group runs with my local running club. But I love lining up with others before a race, talking up our experiences, and finding out why they're running a particular race. I also thrive on meeting runners during a race. As I'm not trying to win anything, I can take my time and run with an interesting person I happen to meet, and they're all interesting. The best is running with my oldest son, who is 20 and a bit faster than me, but being at a race with him is very special. I've also enjoyed being part of the MTA community. The encouragement, support, and the ability to share in fellow members' triumphs and challenges has made me a better runner. I've also found that having you, Angie, coaching me these past 6 months has taken my commitment to improvement and abilities to a new level. Finally, I've come to learn that my running marathons has inspired others to run. Family members, co-workers, and friends have taken up running because they see me doing it and having fun. I am humbled to learn this, and it makes me happy that something I'm doing for myself can positively impact others. Thank you again for your coaching, and to you and Trevor for the podcast and the MTA community. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, Fodi, for sending that in, and we are, you know, really glad to have you as a member of the Academy, and it's always fun to hear about the different races that he's checking off.
And I believe we're going to get to meet him in Myrtle Beach as well. He's going to be doing that marathon, so...
Nice. Awesome.
That'll be exciting.
And he's right that it is fun, you know, doing marathons. And that's the contagious part. You know, he mentioned his friends and family and coworkers starting to run too. And I think if people saw that we didn't enjoy it, like if it was just all misery mm-hmm. and no glory, then who would want to do it, you know?
Right.
But since there is a lot of fun.
It's contagious.
Yeah. So, Angie, what if someone hasn't found the fun yet? What would you say to them?
I would say stick with it. It's like anything, usually anything worth doing is difficult at first.
Right.
And there's going to be low points and there's going to be high points. And I think if you make it through the low points, you're going to come to another mountaintop experience and really find the joy of it again. And, you know, if you're struggling, you know, maybe you need to reach out and find some help, try something different, you know, maybe get some tips from somebody who seems to enjoy it, see what they're doing.
Go out and run with them.
Yeah, exactly. Just try something different if you're stuck in a rut.
All right, folks, we got two more stories. And this next one's from Nicole, who lives in Bozeman, Montana. Angie has a brother who lives in Bozeman as well. So.
Well, the funny thing is she actually lived in Lewistown, my hometown, as well.
Okay,
so cool. It was kind of funny when we made that connection. She says, Angie, I've been meaning to contact you because Marathon Training Academy has been such an inspiration for my running in my life. I started listening to your podcast because I got to a point when I was training for my first marathon that I needed something bigger than me to stay positive and motivated. I found MTA and it gave me an instant boost. I desperately needed to hear that other people were experiencing all the highs and lows that running long distance brings. With the help of your podcast, I did not give up when things got tough and I made it to the finish line. Finishing my first marathon was a life high that will never wear off. It made me feel like no goal is too big. Big goals just take more blood, sweat, and tears. One of the darkest times in my life was also brought on by running. Around mile 20 of the Big Sur Marathon, I had a muscle spasm that resulted in tearing part of my quad. Even though I was in extreme pain, I was able to keep my spirits high and cross the finish line. A horrible depression came on over the next 2 years after the race, and I just could not get over the quad pain. Mentally, I was ready to start training for my next race, but physically, I could not run more than 2 blocks. I was amazed at how much running had become part of my identity. Slowly, with the help of an amazing physical and massage therapist, I was able to start building my running base again. There were numerous setbacks and new injuries. With the help of your podcast, I came to terms with the fact that 3 to 5 miles is now my new long run. I've had to mentally retrain myself to love a 3-mile run just as much as I used to love a 15-mile run. I also have become so grateful to my body that it still allows me to do a little of what I love so much. Your podcast was there for me when I had the physical abilities and just needed the mental strength to push myself. And it's been there for me when my physical abilities were compromised and I needed the mental strength to hold back. Thank you for being an inspiration to the running community. I hope you know that you've lifted many up when we fell down.
Well, thank you for that nice word there, Nicole. And I'm glad our podcast has been a big help to you. And she brings up a good point. You know, maybe there's this other side of the coin here is that running can definitely become a big, big part of your life. But then when you're forced to stop running because of injury, you can almost feel like you lose part of yourself, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's where the mental strength comes in, is that facing the challenge of not being able to run is huge. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you're going to get through it, find ways to get healthy and recover and hold back when you need to so that you can recover. I think running teaches you to know yourself and to push your limits, but also to take care of yourself too. So there's definitely those two sides of the coin. And if you're injured right now and, you know, struggling with running because it's not as comfortable as it was, or you're not able to do it, you know, take heart and take the time to recover and rest and, you know, rebuild your running base when you're able to start running again, and you'll be able to take on new challenges. And
yeah, if there's a theme to all these messages we've read, it's taking control of your health and fitness, taking your life back. And running is one way to do that. So if you're on the sidelines right now with an injury, you know, take hope from Nicole's message. You will fight your way back into this thing.
Exactly.
Okay, and this last story comes from Anna, who lives in New York City.
She says, 12 years ago, I was 200 pounds, depressed, an insomniac, and so clueless about being obese. My wake-up call was when I went to sit in the middle seat on the subway and pissed off the people on either side. I was so embarrassed that I started to exercise at home and do Weight Watchers. After 2 years, I was a bona fide gym rat, and a personal trainer put me on the treadmill for 10 minutes at 4 miles an hour. It was awful. I hated running. Another year passed, and I only ran on the treadmill. Every single day on the mill got boring, so I soon went outside. That was it. I signed up for races in the city. I ran in areas that I'd never explored, over bridges, to Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx, and most recently to New Jersey.
Wait, that's going way too far.
Now I can sit in the center seat without annoying other riders. I no longer battle depression, and I sleep better. I constantly battle the bulge, but running has given me freedom, peace, and sanity. My only regret is I didn't run earlier in life. I'm over 50 now, and although I have a few aches and pains, I still feel great, and I hope I can hold on to running for as long as possible. I am happy regardless.
That's cool. What do you think she meant by I constantly battle a bulge?
Well, she still battles her weight.
Okay. I thought it might be like a World War II reference or something.
No. I think that's one of those things that keeps a lot of people going, you know?
Yeah, we're all a work in progress.
Exactly.
Well, now it's time for this episode's quick tip, and what we want to do is just share why it's important for you to write down your running story. So, Angie, I'm going to kick it over to you, you running story expert, you. Why should people craft a running story and let this become part of their identity?
Well, sometimes it's just easy to let life happen to you, and sometimes when you sit down and you really think about what something means to you and how you've changed and progressed over the years, you really don't remember a lot of the details of it. So I think it's important to write down your running story so that you can see how you are a work in progress and how far you've already come.
Right.
You know, I don't think we often reflect on how far we've come. We often get caught up in the moment. There's, you know, so many things we'd like to change about ourselves and the frustrations we have, whatever, the future goals. But just take a moment to look back and see how far you've already come. And I think that's going to inspire you and give you hope for the future. I think it's important when you're writing out your own running story to think about when you started running, why, you know, just kind of that catalyst of why you started running, how you felt in the beginning. You know, try to remember those first painful minutes. Uh-huh. Maybe that first time you ran a mile, the first time you did a 5K, those big moments, the first time you decided you were going to run a half or a full marathon, and what that process was like.
Right.
Think about your support system. Who encouraged you along the way? Where did you go for resources, for information?
Remember us.
Think about what you learned along the way. You know, maybe it wasn't just crossing the finish line. It was about pushing yourself through all those training miles and getting out there in the dark and the cold and, you know, in the inclement weather. And just really take a moment to reflect on your accomplishment, what your proudest moments were, some adversity that you faced, you know, maybe injuries, maybe something in life derailed your running. But just look back and try to put it on paper or, you know, or on a computer document, on a blog, something.
Pinterest, whatever.
Right. There's many different modalities for putting your running story out there. But I think you can be something that you look back on, you know, maybe revisit it every year, just see how far you've come, mm-hmm. and it can help you set goals for the future as well.
It's always better to compare yourself to your past self, not compare yourself to somebody else. If you've gone from 280 down to 200, maybe you're not down to the weight you want to be at, but man, look how far you've come.
Exactly.
So don't compare yourself to an elite runner, but compare yourself to your former self, and you'll see how much progress you've made and be encouraged by that.
That's right. Yeah, you're definitely on a unique journey, and it's not going to happen the same way for everyone. I mean, there are reoccurring themes with people's running stories, but it's going to be different for you. And, you know, I think you need to celebrate your uniqueness and just put that running story down.
Yeah. So this Thanksgiving season, we are thankful for life, for health and fitness. We're just loving life and keep dreaming, keep achieving, and we love you guys, and thank you for listening to this episode. Hope everyone has a great holiday season. We will be back next episode talking about something.
Something hopefully interesting.
Definitely interesting. If you want to read some great articles and get some more training resources, training plans, all kinds of good stuff, you can go to marathontrainingacademy.com. Leave a comment with this blog. Join us on Facebook if you're not part of that. Our Facebook page is growing by the day. Tens of people a day.
Wow.
I think we're close to 8,000 fans.
We are. We need to get over 10,000.
Yeah, we'll be there someday. I know. It just steadily trickles in, so that is awesome.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We want you to know you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Right on my way.